Welcome to Stay on Course with me, Julie Riga. My life has been a roller coaster of highs and lows, but what I know to be true is that when we are grounded in our purpose and savor the sweet moments of life, we are truly a success. Today, you are going to get the ingredients for success because life is salty and life is sweet. Together, let's explore the possibilities of our own lives and learn from thought leaders around the globe. Ready, guys? Let's cook it. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the next edition of the Stay on Course podcast. Today, I have Chris Shern of the Yes Network. He anchors Yes Yankees batting practice Today Show, providing Yankees updates from Yes Studios, interacting with Yes on-site announcers, introducing features, interviews, and other segments of the program. He's also a voiceover artist and graduated from my alma mater, Rowan College of New Jersey, in 1995 with a BA in communication. And he was inducted into the Rowan College Radio Station Hall of Fame in the year 2013. And yes, that's 89.7 WGLS-FM, the voice of Rowan College. And so I'm super excited to have Chris today on the podcast. Welcome, Chris, to the Stay on Course podcast. So before we get started, I'm just curious, what is your favorite food?
My favorite food? You're asking a foodie what his favorite food is, and a guy who loves to cook, by the way. And I know your dad was a chef. So let me, every Thursday night, we had a tradition at my grandmother's house, my mom's mom, the Italian side of the family. And she would make spaghetti, meatballs, bruschetta, her homemade bread. And if she was feeling good that day, she would actually make her own pasta. So every Thursday, we would have that. So if I have to give you my favorite food, like if I could go back in a time machine, if Doc Brown showed up at my house right now with his DeLorean, I would pick a random Thursday from my childhood and I would show up at my grandmother's house and say to the younger version of me, get out of the seat. I'm sitting here and I'm eating tonight. So there was nothing like that, because when you walked into her house, Julie, as soon as you open the door, the smell of the meatballs just hit you like a tractor trailer doing about 90 down the highway right at you.
All right. That's great. And I love the story around it because it's just bringing back so many memories of our childhood.
I could imagine. Yeah.
So we're about the same age, I'm thinking. Let's talk a little bit about how we met. Let's talk about that.
Well, it was Rowan College at the time.
Yes.
When I was accepted, it was Glassboro State College, and they changed the name to Rowan. And it was Rowan College of New Jersey, and then Rowan University, because they have the six schools now. And of course, our school is the School of Communications. I had that radio show with Max Nagin. You were a guest on the Early Bird special. We had a blast. I mean, I took college as the workplace before the workplace. I really did, because I heard from enough people to tell me that use everything at your disposal in college. And this is the advice I give to kids all the time now. You know, you could still have fun and do your work with a concentration on doing your work and using the clubs. We had the RTVA, Radio TV Film Association, which I was the president of, which we got a grant for $30,000 to get equipment. And our friend Max Nagin and I were president and vice president. We were like, no, this has to change. And now they produce sports shows and news shows and magazine shows. So you're welcome, students of the Radio TV Film. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I loved it.
It was fun. And you know what I remember is that you were at every single game. Every game.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I was never at the game, but I used to listen to the radio station like all the time. I just put it on. I'm like, there's Chris. And yep. What's the other guy that was there with you all the time?
Jeff Hickman.
You and Jeff Jason Hickman
were Weber.
There. So to that point, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing for the last 20 years.
Oof-ah. Okay. So 20 years, I'm starting my 21st year at Yes, but I was hired there out of MSNBC, where I did every job under the sun. I was lower than a production assistant. Then I was a production assistant. Then I was an associate producer. Then I was a sports producer. Then I was a tape producer. I was an editor for the news with Brian Williams because there was no union in New Jersey and we could touch the equipment. So I learned how to edit. I made myself as marketable as humanly possible. And it helped me in the long run. And then I went to Yes. And I started there as an associate producer. The Mike and the Mad Dog show was the show that I was centered in on and working on. And then they created this show called Yankees Batting Practice Today. And in the 2 years leading up to that, Mike and the Mad Dog had this problem where the show before them would run overtime. So I went to my bosses and I was like, look, I don't have to be on camera, but I think we can make this work TV wise. If we could do like a highlight rip, take a break, and then join Mike and Chris when they come up. So one of my bosses says, put it on tape and let me see what it is. And he says, you could be on camera and do it. I said, okay. And the sports sprint was born.
It's an amazing story. And what's hitting me is that you were able to discover an opportunity for yourself. And right. It was because of that one moment that you had that literally propelled you into your career.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that I wrote in my high school yearbook. Under my picture, it says sportscaster. I wanted to be in sports. My junior year in high school was my last year playing basketball. So instead of playing, I started with South River TV 35 as the color analyst for our high school basketball team. Who knew that team better than me? I just played with them for the past 3 years. So that's when the itch started to get scratched. When I started my TV career in high school as a senior, helping call the games of the team I just left playing for. So that started it. For 9 years, I sent VHS tapes out all over the country, 9 years of no's, 9 years of getting letters back saying, I was happy if I got a letter back saying no. Most of the time I didn't get anything.
Right.
But 9 years I got no's. And then finally at Yes.
You got a yes.
I got a yes.
You got a yes.
Yeah. And that sports sprint, that one little window of opportunity that I created for myself has spurned into being the host of Yankees Batting Practice Today, being the host of the Yankees pre and post game, being the host of the Nets pre and post game, being a clubhouse reporter for the Yankees, being a locker room reporter for the Nets, being the play-by-play voice of the New York Liberty. It has just propelled me to all of this stuff. So you have to look, it's an old saying. My grandfather used to say, you have to take the bull by the horns. And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. But for the most part, I have carved out a career that I've always wanted for myself. And like I told you before, I just feel so blessed to be where I am right now.
Yeah. So it sounds like you were able to literally author your career. You started authoring your career when you were in high school.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and then you used every opportunity as a tool for your success.
Right.
You literally used every opportunity as a tool. I love this. This would be an ingredient, I feel like. It's like finding a need and meeting a need, creating the opportunities for your future success, because I think that's one thing that people miss when they're working. It's like, if you can find a need, meet a need, that can propel you into the next thing that you're going to be doing. And it did that for you. And so in this episode, I want to focus on some advice that you have for young people starting out their careers and sort of recognizing that, yeah, it is a long climb and there are obstacles that come in their way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about some ingredients for success that you would want them to know as a mentor, because you have such a passion for helping and giving back to the next generation.
I do. And especially in my business, something that you need to have first and foremost, if you're going to be on camera, if you're going to be a presenter, if you're going to be a reporter, you have to grow very thick skin. because you know, on social media, for the most part, it is a cesspool of the most rotten humans on the planet. What you need to do is put blinders on. Don't even look at your replies. Post your work. Be proud of your work. You put time and effort into that work. The only people you have to worry about is the people you work for. If they had an issue with it, you have to polish it up. You have to clean it up. You have to get better, and you have to listen to them because it is their vision. Okay? It might be your work, but it is their vision. It's not the vision of the people sitting in their mother's basement in their underwear. Sorry for the visual.
Doing nothing with their life.
Right. And nitpicking at your hard work, because your hard work, it's out there for you.
It's funny. I always talk about my dad, but I want to talk about my mother because I think she said to me, like, what other people think of you is none of your business. It's none of your business.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so what? If the other people are not in the arena, I think Brené Brown has this quote. She says, you know, if you're not in the arena with me getting your ass kicked, basically, then I'm not interested in your feedback.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you are, then of course I would love to hear from you. But if you're not doing the same kind of work or putting yourself out there in the manner that I am, then I'm just not interested in what you have to say.
Well, I would say that's first and foremost, put blinders on. The second thing is the book, according to Derek Jeter, you're not going to be the best. Okay. But always remember, no one could outwork you. Okay, because there's always someone over your shoulder that's coming for your job, but make it so no one outworks you. That's what you have to think about. So put blinders on, thick skin, always work hard. And I live by two quotes, and I will give them to you. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. That's the great UCLA coach, John Wooden. And there's another one. If you travel down a path without any obstacles, chances are it doesn't lead anywhere. If you think your route is not going to be filled with landmines to your goal, you must have a lot of money and know a lot of people to just pave that road and get rid of all those landmines. And you know what? God bless you. But if you don't, you're going to have pitfalls here and there. You're going to have setbacks here and there. The most important part of not your career, life in general. Mm-hmm. And Julie, you and I have been through these pitfalls. So we know, we speak from experience. It's not the adversity that you're going to face. It's how you face the adversity. It's how you see it, do a little Barry Sanders juke move and get around it and get to the next rung on the ladder. You can't let every piece of adversity knock you back 10 spaces. You're not going to succeed that way. You have to hit it head on. You have to deal with it, and you have to get around it. And that's the way you get to your goal. You can't let other people tell you what you can and cannot do. Do you know, I had professors, they will remain nameless, but I had professors tell me that I would never do what I'm doing right now.
No.
But I had one who had confidence in me. I will say his name, Ned Eckert.
Ned!
And when he, when I first got the job at Yes, we were friends on Facebook. And I remember the message vividly. He always called me Sheeran. But Ned's message to me was, remember everybody who said you couldn't. And remember, every time that red light goes on, just smile.
Wow.
And every time that red light goes on the camera, that's exactly what I do. I smile. It's not in a mean way. It's not in a vindictive way. It's not in any kind of way. It's just like, you told me no, but here I am.
Oh my God. You know what? I've reached out to Frank Hogan and I said to him, I said, Frank, do you remember that internship I did at the radio station? He goes, of course I do, Julie. So what happened was I don't know if you remember this program, but he used to play it in between people's radio shows. And it was a 4-minute interview or 5-minute interview series where I would interview professors.
I think I do remember that. Yeah.
I mean, he made me do this and I thought it was the stupidest, most boring project. I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this as an internship.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, when I started the podcast up, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing the same thing that I did in college. I'm now interviewing people and I'm like, it's like no big deal. Like I'm ready. Like here yeah. I am ready to interview people because.
But you know, I want to pick up on something. I want to circle back because a lot of people, a lot of kids actually ask me this question that are, you know, wanting to get into the business. They always ask, are you using teleprompter when you do your shows?
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you just said about doing those teacher interviews. When you did the internship at the radio station, that prepared you for what you're doing now. But everybody asks me about teleprompter, and those versions of the podcast, the same way it did for you with the internship. When I have an analyst, there is nothing in teleprompter.
Wow.
I do everything off the top of my head, especially the post game. You know, as I'm talking to the analyst, I have the producer in my ear saying, hey, you have time for one more question. As I'm asking a question, and I pride myself on that, especially the post game, it's not timed. Frank and I or Carrie and I could sit out there for, you know, a year and then not have to worry about anything. I mean, the crew wants to go the hell home, but, you know, we're having fun. But that's something I tell kids all the time. And they have no excuse, Julie. This is another piece of advice I could give them. And for those listening to audio only, I'm holding up my phone. You all walk around with cameras, which are video cameras. There are apps out there. I have one on my phone. It's a teleprompter app. If you want to get really good, there's TikTok, there's Twitter. You have an opinion that's strong on something. Time it out, write it, do a minute, throw it in the teleprompter app. Get comfortable in your own skin, you know, with the intonations, how you want to hit certain words. Then after a while, maybe a month or two of prompting things, you'll be able to sit in front of that same video camera and rattle off a minute, know what a minute is in your head, and not need anything prompted.
Oh,
that's the journey you have to take. And then by the time you get to a position where you're hosting a pre or post game show, the teleprompter is a crutch. It yeah. is an absolute crutch. Now, look, if you're by yourself, there's no analyst and it's timed, everything is written. Like the batting practice show, everything is written. The difference is it's written by me.
There you go. Hey, I have a question. So
yeah.
are you saying that you can actually feel when a minute is over?
Yeah.
It's like a muscle memory somehow.
Yes.
That's really amazing. That's not why we're here today. We're here to talk about your ingredients for success. So let's do a quick yeah. wrap up.
Sure.
We talked about a couple of things. I'm just going to recap and then let's just mm-hmm. talk a little bit more about this.
Sure.
We talked about looking for opportunities. We talked about growing a thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about no one can outwork you in the face of adversity. And then we were talking about the teleprompter secret at the end. Mm-hmm. So those are the ingredients that we reviewed today on this podcast. What would you like to say in closing as a recap of all of that?
I would always say, look, you need to set goals for yourself, but not just a goal. Think about your goal orientation as the length of a football field. Not the end zones, just 100 yards in between the end zones. You need to set goals at the 20-yard line, at the 40-yard line, at the other 40-yard line, at the other 20-yard line, and then finally your goal at the other goal line. You can't just set the goal all the way at the other goal line. Because if you go, you know, for 4 or 5 years and you're not there, it does something to your head.
Hmm.
But if you got to the 20, it says, well, wait, I got there. So now I got to get to the 40. And the goal is still in sight. You need to set little goals to get to your big goal. I did that. I was forced to do that with all the no's that I got back. I knew in my head, I said, look, I'm not throwing this away yet. And who knew about the infinite possibilities there were going to be with the digital age and apps and everything else. You know, my brain couldn't even fathom that yet. Didn't even know about it. I would say something else too, besides the goal setting. I know it's kind of negative, Julie, but in a way, it's a good life lesson. Just be careful of who you surround yourself with. Because my business is dog eat dog. And if kids want to know who I am, I'm not pushing people backwards. I'm lifting people up and pushing them forwards. I didn't have that. That's what I want my legacy to be. My legacy isn't what you see on TV. I'm not that narcissist. I have an ego. I'll be honest. Everybody does. But I'm not the narcissist that worries about my legacy on TV. I want my legacy to be someone sees, oh, he used to be on the S Network, but you know what? He brought me in there and he helped me realize my dream and I worked hard and I got to where that's what I want my legacy to be. I want my legacy to be helping people get to the next level. That is truly what I see for myself.
Well, you know, what you just described was leadership, Chris. And that is the best way to describe leadership, is to make yourself redundant in a sense.
Yeah.
And leave it to the next generation. And right. You're doing that. You're doing great things. And listen, I'm so happy that we got to reconnect. I want to thank you so much for being on the Stan Course podcast, sharing your wealth of knowledge. And I'm sure many, many people that listen to this for years to come will benefit from your wisdom. So thank you.
Julie, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure catching up with you. Hopefully it won't be another 30 years before we talk again. And it was such a pleasure to be here and reminisce and provide some knowledge for the generation that's coming up.
Thank you, Chris. My dad, Ennio Riga, was not just a chef. He was my hero. From the hardships of World War II to the heights of culinary excellence, his story is nothing short of remarkable. Now, this story lives on in Stay on Course, a book that is very close to my heart. It's filled with his own words, his recipes, and the wisdom he imparted to me. Just imagine, 4 months before he passed, he handed me his life story, urging me to finish it. In these pages, you'll discover the secrets behind mouthwatering dishes and the lessons he taught me about leadership and perseverance. And trust me, there are some incredible tales in here, like the time he pulled off a birthday bash for Frank Sinatra with just 48 hours notice. So, if you're hungry for inspiration and craving a taste of Ennio's legacy, head over to stayoncoursebook.com. That's stayoncoursebook.com. Grab your copy and let his story ignite your passion.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Stay on Course. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so Julie can continue serving up delectable experts and appetizing content directly to your earbuds. And remember, right now, you have the ingredients to be living the life you are meant to live. This has been a production of The Media Casters.